She's an MPH and IBCLC and a member of the Carolina Global Breastfeeding Institute. And she has a history of supporting and empowering women with massage therapy. So, Kathleen,
I got it in there.
Hello, everyone. I'm going to be talking to you today about some research that I was able to conduct as a part of my graduate studies at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And just wanted to thank Emily Taylor and Mary Mubach for working with me on this project when I was a student last year. So we did some focus groups to look at this issue, discovering women's understanding of infant formula advertising. So I'm going to share these focus group results with you all, and I do not have any personal financial relationships to disclose. I'm going to skip over the learning objectives and just hope that you all can talk about the results of the study with your colleagues when you leave here today. So for this study, we were really looking at the background of the relationship between the exposure to infant formula advertising and breastfeeding rates, so lower breastfeeding rates. And we were hypothesizing that formula advertising might lead to misperceptions about optimal infant feeding, and that is maybe what causes certain women to supplement earlier or to wean. And we know that this hypothesis is supported in the literature. So 33% of women do not believe that breastfeeding is the best way to feed an infant. And that data comes from the Infant Feeding Practices Survey. So these are pregnant women that they were surveying. And also 28% agreed with the statement that infant formula was as good as breast milk. So these are really prevalent misperceptions that are out there today among pregnant women. So what we wanted to do with this study was really just increase our understanding of how women can perceive some of these ads that are out there so that we can kind of better characterize the nature between the exposure to the advertising and the lower breastfeeding rates that we see. So we did 4 focus groups, and we divided those by reproductive status, and we showed them 5 different advertisements. So the focus groups, we had one that was all preconceptional women, so women that had never before had a child, but they were planning to be pregnant within the next few years. One group was all pregnant women with their first child, and 2 groups were postpartum women within the last 3 years. One group of those had breastfed exclusively their last child, and one who had fed any amount of formula to that last child. And the 5 advertisements that we showed them included 2 discharge bags that were intended for breastfeeding women. And then we also showed them a color image of a package that they would pick up in the grocery store that was ready to feed 6-pack. So we showed them that package. We showed them a website ad. So we recreated an infomil website ad exactly and showed them that. And then we also showed them a Similac magazine ad. And our sample population, we had 36 participants, so between 6 and 10 in each of the groups. And you can see here from these results, or this sample, that we did overrepresent whites and underrepresent Latinas, but we were fairly representative of the North Carolina black and Asian populations. The education level was definitely higher than the national average, and the annual household income of our sample was also skewed. It was very widely distributed, but it was skewed towards the upper end of the income quartiles of the U.S. Census. So we had a fairly highly educated group of people who were majority white, 76% white, and I do take that into account here. So I'm going to talk to you about some of the themes that emerged when we analyzed and coded our data. So this first one is the women were confused about the superiority of their own human milk after viewing the advertisements. So they said that they just felt doubts about the ability of their own milk to do some of the things that the infant formula was purporting to be able to do in the advertisements. And a lot of these statements were triggered by the use of fancy words and scientific ingredients that they didn't quite maybe understand. So a lot of the women, they had just never really considered that their breast milk was anything less than perfect. And then after viewing these ads, they started to think, oh gosh, I don't really know. Maybe I have to be eating fish or taking supplements in order to get DHA into my breast milk. I'm not really sure how all that works. Okay, so the next emergent theme that I wanted to share was this idea that formula is some kind of a treatment or a solution. Just going to let you read some of these. And this is an interesting one. I'll read out loud. Well, to me, it says that you're doing something wrong, that feeding issues are tough and addressing them can be easy. Like, the solution is easy if you use this, but if you're not using this and your baby has this issue or that issue, it's kind of like your fault because you're not feeding the right thing. So you can see that the women were sometimes perceiving these ads that in a way that made formula seem like it was doing something that breast milk couldn't do. It was going above and beyond breast milk. I can see here that something is not quite right with these slides, so I apologize if it's... Yeah, anyway, sorry about that. So the next theme was this expectation of failure. So a lot of the participants reported after viewing the ads that the ads conveyed this expectation that breastfeeding moms would most likely need to supplement earlier than they expected. And I'm going to read this one here for you. It's very interesting to me that the formula companies, obviously, and then society seems to assume that there will be a high failure rate. It's interesting to me that in this age where people are intelligent and we have education and all this support, that there's just this assumption that breastfeeding won't work. I mean, everyone here has said we're going to try it. We're even all tenuous about it. Like, well, we're just going to try. But don't laugh at us if we don't do well. Instead of course, we'll do fabulous. So you can see and you can hear that these women were pretty disempowered after viewing the ads. And the last theme that I wanted to share with you all is this: was that the ads had a greater influence on the woman if they were coming through a healthcare outlet. To read those for a second, and then I'm going to read you another one. I think it's crazy because the doctors encourage you to breastfeed, but then enter to win $100 free formula here and there, and it's everywhere. And I don't know where everyone else goes, but I love my doctors, and I feel great about them. So you can just see and hear the conflict that you get when you're, in a medical institution and looking for medical advice, and you're getting advertisements for a not recommended practice. So what does this mean? To us, there's just a lot of red flags. It's all very concerning that, women, after viewing ads that are so ubiquitous, are questioning their own body's integrity to optimally nourish their baby. They're, some of them, being misled into believing that supplementing with formula is going to fix their baby's fussiness or gas or spit up. And they're feeling very tenuous about their ability to succeed after viewing the ads, and that's also concerning. And then, of course, the fact that they're getting them in a medical outlet, in a medical, setting, in a healthcare outlet, that also is very concerning because we know that women are going to put more weight on information that they receive from their doctor or in a hospital than they might otherwise if it was in a People magazine or something like that. So I think that all of these concerns merit some action on our part as breastfeeding advocates. And I'll talk about some of the recommendations for action that that I have here in just a second. But first, I also wanted to discuss the differences that we saw among the different groups. The four focus groups were different reproductive status, as I mentioned earlier. And we didn't actually see as much difference as we thought we would have. So the two postpartum groups, one was formula fed and one was exclusively breastfed, and we actually didn't see such a difference there in how they interpreted the ads. But what we did notice, and I wanted to point out, was that there was a difference among the pregnancy group. So this is the group that had the most comments of self-doubt and the most comments about disempowerment and confusion, and it was actually really surprising to us. And so what this says to us possibly is that there might be something different about pregnant women that makes them more susceptible to interpreting the ads in such a way that might influence their feeding practices. So we know that women are in this altered hormonal milieu during pregnancy, and we also know that pregnancy is the time when most women decide when they're going to feed their baby. And so it might be this combination of, you know, them wanting to make a decision and they're in this altered hormonal state anyway, and maybe it's that combination that might contribute to them being more susceptible to interpreting the ads in these unfortunate ways. So of course we can't generalize these results to the greater North Carolina population where we did this study or to all women in the United States, but I think it's a good starting point for us to really look at as providers or as researchers, you know, about how women may be at risk for interpreting infant formula advertising. So here are some of the recommendations. I think that the results of this study definitely support the efforts that are underway to eliminate all of the infant formula advertising in healthcare settings, so BFHI and ban the bags, and there's a lot of support for that right now, so I think that we should just continue the great work that's going on. Secondly, the Federal Trade Commission is responsible for protecting consumers in the United States from false and misleading claims in advertising, and we feel that the results of this study indicate that they need to do more in this department. And we also feel that the marketing of breast milk substitutes should be considered uniquely. So this product isn't just any old product that's being advertised. So we need to think about it differently because it's associated with negative health outcomes. And it should also be marketed in such a way that is compliant with the international code of the marketing of breast milk substitutes, and currently it's not in our country. So lastly, and sorry, this is not showing up, must be because I have a Mac, I don't know. But I feel that more research is really needed in this area that really demonstrates how women are interpreting the advertisements and how that might be affecting their infant feeding practices. So if we really want to see, you know, the FTC Act or progress on some of these other recommendations, then we need to have some good evidence and a lot of it that shows that this is happening, because they don't just act. We have to make them act as breastfeeding advocates. And I feel like right now is a really good time. There's a lot of support for breastfeeding out there, and we're making a lot of progress. And you know, the ways in which women are interpreting this ubiquitous infant formula advertising is really hindering the progress that we're making. And so I feel like now's the time to, you know, talk to your colleagues if you're interested in doing some collaborations or some research. And if you know anybody in advertising or in mass communications, talk to them. You know, it'd be great to open this up beyond the maternal and child health field and get some advertising folks doing some research like this about these ads. And I think that I have. Thank you very much. I do have some resources with you.
No, you're fine.
Okay.
Thank you, Kathleen. Question, Melissa.
Well, to answer your first question, we started out the focus groups by just asking them what they knew about breastfeeding. So just kind of blanket, what have you heard about breastfeeding? What do you know about breastfeeding? What have you heard about formula feeding? Where have you seen formula advertisements? Where have you seen breastfeeding advertisements? But we didn't, so, and then when we showed them the advertisements, we just asked them specific questions about their reactions to the ads. So not necessarily, we weren't necessarily correlating their first responses with their reactions to the ads. So it wasn't necessarily a change that we were looking at. It was more, what's happening in this room after they're viewing these advertisements? You know, how are they understanding what do they think that these advertisements are trying to say to them as consumers? And I like your second comment. That's great. we definitely feel like there was, you know, if this was a high educated population and they were misinterpreting the ads, you know, what would a lower income population really be like? So we did talk about that in the paper, in the discussion. Thank you.
Question right here.
Now, are there any restrictions on these ads? Like, most of the drugs that are advertised on TV say, well, you can have this side effect, something like this. They don't have to say that you could interfere with your normal breastfeeding and cause all these problems for you.
No, we should have a whole list.
For them to have to put in a negative effects, I think.
Right. You should check out NABA, the National Alliance for Breastfeeding Advocacy. It's naba-breastfeeding.org, and you can find out a lot of the information about infant feeding regulation from Marsha Walker on that website.
Thank you.